produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Hello, this is Pastor Jay, and welcome to The Living Room, the place where intimate conversations are life-changing. I am so glad you decided to join us today because this is our last broadcast for 2019. Can you believe it? It seems like this year has flown by. I mean, I remember when I was waiting for spring to come. I am one of those people who looks back in December and begins to take inventory of the year. And I can honestly say that it's been a year of major breakthroughs. I've seen God do some amazing things. But at the same time, I can say to you that it's been a challenging year for me, a year where I've had to dig deep. And as my husband often says, believe what I believe, right? So this broadcast is really an opportunity for me to share some things with you that I think will help you as you prepare to enter into the new year. And so before I get to today's topic, let me take a moment and share with you a conversation that I had with a listener this week. And this is a young man who shared with me, he said, you know, Pastor Jay, I feel like the holiday season are upon us, and I don't feel like celebrating. I don't feel that joy or that happiness inside. I miss my loved one. I miss my mom, he said. And so I'm struggling with trying to be joyful because I'm a Christian and I understand the real meaning of Christmas, but I don't feel that joy inside. And so he asked me, what could he do to change his temperament or his demeanor before the holiday season gets away? And so I'm going to share with you what I shared with him in hopes that it will help you or at least somebody that you know. There are two things that I found to be extremely helpful because I was in the same situation. I lost my mother-in-law and another loved one right around Christmas time a few years ago. And here's what got me through. The first is prayer. Now, I know you're probably saying, yeah, that's something I would expect you to say. But listen, I know that talking to God was a game changer for me. I was able to share with him the things that were, you know, bottled up on the inside, things that I had not openly shared with others, things that I felt bad about, rehearsing things that went on in some of the relationships with those that are no longer here. And I needed to get that stuff off my chest. So prayer was talking to God about those things. What I found out was as I began to unload some of those things in my prayer time, I could feel a lightness. I could feel a lifting of the heaviness because I found comfort in talking to him about it. I found that I could confide in him and I didn't have to worry about it being repeated or misunderstood because he knows our heart and the meditations of our heart. And so prayer really helped me because I was being honest and transparent with him about how I really felt. The second thing that helped me was serving. Serving. What that did was it allowed me to get the focus off of myself and it allowed me to put the focus on somebody else. So when I began to go out and find ways to be a blessing, it changed my demeanor. It lifted my spirits. Giving and being a blessing to somebody else really changed the way that I saw things in that season. And this is what happened. They didn't know the heaviness that I had in my heart. All they knew was I was there to be a blessing to them. But in my serving, I was so blessed because it helped me to see that there's somebody else who's dealing with some more trying situations than maybe I'm dealing with in this season. And I could be of assistance to them. There is something about giving yourself away. I believe it was Commission that had a song years ago. And it was the chorus said, love isn't love until you've given it away. And so I found myself giving the love of God away, and it changed everything for me. In many ways, I felt like I was like a wounded healer, you know, because I was hurting, but I was being a healer in the way that I was loving and being a blessing to others. And that gave me such a relief and such joy down on the inside until it helped heal that broken place in my heart, and it helped to heal the hurt that I was feeling during the holiday season. So those two things, prayer and serving, were instrumental in my being able to get through the holiday season. And I hope that it was a blessing to you and you'll put those things to use or at least share them with somebody else, because many people are challenged during the holiday season. So I hope that you'll share that. Amen. So let's talk about today's topic. Today's topic is on trusting God. Now, of all the things that I could talk about at the end of a year, I really believe that trusting God is positional, meaning when you make a conscious decision that you're going to trust God for whatever time that is remaining in 2019 and whatever God brings your way in 2020, make a conscious decision now to posture yourself that no matter what, you're going to trust God. I heard someone say years ago that trust was an acronym that meant totally resting upon the Savior today. I know that trust is something that is developmental, meaning the more you grow, the more you're able to trust. But let me challenge you at the end of this year that you make up your mind that you're going to focus on trusting Him and not allowing yourself to get caught up and worked up in situations that you don't know about or you don't understand. Our scripture reference for tonight's message is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, a familiar passage of scripture. The first part of it says, trust and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart. Another way of saying that is wholly and securely. Rely upon God's wisdom, power, and goodness. Rely upon the providence of His promises and for His direction and help in all of your affairs. That's what it means to trust in the Lord confidently, because you know that He has your best interests at heart. And listen, you know that it means to exchange what you think and what you desire for what he thinks and what he desires. Why? Because I believe without a shadow of a doubt that what he wants and desires for me is much greater and better and richer than anything I desire for myself. So with that in mind, I can wholly and securely rely on his wisdom. Why? Because I know at the end of the day, I'm going to win because he has my best interests at heart. The second part of that scripture says, lean not to thy own understanding. See, it's our understanding that gets us in trouble. When you understand something, you believe you know how it works, right? But what if you don't have all the information? What if you are operating with limited information? Then there's no way your understanding can be complete because you don't have all the information. So I believe that when we refuse or we resist the temptation to lean on our own understanding, I mean, that really makes it clear because I know that he is omniscient. That means he knows everything. And so when I refuse to lean on my own understanding, then I leave myself room to say, hey, listen, this is what I see. This is what I think I know, but I know this is not the whole story. I know my understanding is limited. And so I am not going to lean to my own understanding. And then the next part of the scripture says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. In other words, in all your undertaking and all your plans and all your actions, acknowledge him. That means that he is not just Savior, but this is when he becomes Lord. When in all your ways, you are willing to acknowledge him. What does that mean? That means that you are in a posture of trust. That means that you're praying. And you're asking God for direction and wisdom and guidance. That means that you are seeking him for understanding, seeking him for revelation. That means that you are acknowledging him in such a way that you want his best for yourself and for anybody else that you are praying for or that you're interacting with. The Hebrew translation of that word acknowledge means to know him. So that means that you want his wisdom, you want his counsel, you want his power, you want his goodness. So you're acknowledging him in all your ways. And then he promises to do something. He promises to direct your path. And isn't that what we want? The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Isn't that what we want? We want him to direct our path. Because let me tell you something. He's already got a plan. He already has a plan. He has already lined up the people, the places, and the things. All we have to do is get in line with him, align ourselves with him. That's something, huh? That's something that takes a certain level of maturity, right? Because you can't just be out here doing your own thing. Listen, trust means you can no longer be a Burger King. You know what a Burger King is, don't you? It's somebody that wants to have it their way. You can't have it your way and then get all of the riches and the blessings and the promises of God. There is an underlying word that is called submission. That means to come under the mission of God. When you are willing to submit to God, you can have everything that he has promised, but you can't have it if you're willing to do it your way. So that's what it means to acknowledge him in all of your ways. So let me ask you this question. What does trusting the Lord really look like? Especially when you don't know what to do, or when the circumstances seem overwhelming, or when things just seem out of control, or when you don't have control over the outcome. What does trusting him really look like? How can I trust him when all of these things are going on in my life? Well, I have three things to share, and they all start with an R. Maybe that'll help you to remember them. The first is real love. Real love is important because you got to know that he loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you so much that he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for your sins, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The real love, especially this time of year, came in the form of the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Amen. The one who was the baby of Mary and Joseph, but he was the Son of God. and that is the demonstration of his love for us. He sent his son Jesus as the one who the Word of God says that for unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given. And so we recognize this time of the year that the gift that he gave us through his son Jesus was the most important gift of all. And so that gift came out of his love for us. So you and I must remember that this is the time of the year when we give gifts, but we're doing it because God gave us gifts, and we're doing it to demonstrate our love, right? And so we know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave what? His only begotten son. No greater love than a man have that he would lay down his life for a friend. So the R, the first R, is just real love. That's what helps me trust him, when I know that he really, really loves me. The second R is remember. You see, your memory is one of your greatest assets, especially in a battle. You have to know that your memory really is a weapon. Why? Because when you are able to recall the way that God saw you out, the way that he made a way out of no way, when you are able to remember that even in the face of your doubt and unbelief, God still saw fit to bring you out of that situation, that then serves as a memorial, right? Just like when Miriam crossed over the Red Sea and she and the others built a memorial there. Why? Because they wanted to remember the miracle that God had done for them. Many times we forget what we're supposed to remember, and we remember what we're supposed to forget. Let me say that again. Many times we forget what we're supposed to remember, and we remember what we're supposed to forget. My God. So we have to make a practice of remembering the things that God has done. That's why I journal. I journal because it helps me to remember. When I go back and look at my journal, and especially this time of year, I can go back to the beginning and I can see the things I was writing in January and the things that I had before God in prayer in February. And I can see how he made a way in March. And I can see how he, you know, kept me from getting ahead of him in April. I mean, I'm just telling you, remembering is so key, because when you remember, you can then say, just like that blind man, I once was blind, but now I see. In other words, your remembering is really the testament, the witness, amen, that God is faithful. So you got to remember. This third R really is rehearse. Now, rehearse is a little different from remember, because when I say rehearse, I'm really talking about the Word of God. You see, when you rehearse something, that means that you are bringing it to your mind just the way it is written. And so you are allowing yourself to bring it to repetition over and over again. A good example would be if you are practicing a dance routine, right? You have to rehearse that dance routine, and you have to make sure that you are moving in such a way that it's just based upon the way it's been choreographed. And you are making sure that you execute those moves in the exact same way, and you do it over and over again. And if you are dancing solo or you are part of a dance company, you got to make sure that you are doing that the same way in unison. That's what rehearsing the word will do for you. It will set it in your mind so that you know that this is what God has said. You know, I had a thought just now, and I'll share it with you. It reminds me of how when you do those dance moves, you know, at everybody's wedding, that you end up doing the electric slide or some type of group dance, right? Well, that group dance, whether you participate in it or not, is choreographed. And each one of those moves, the cha-cha, whatever, each one of those moves has a beat that goes along with it. And those people who get out on the dance floor, you can tell who has rehearsed it and who is not familiar with it. When you get familiar with the word of God to the point where you can rehearse it and you can execute it, then you know what to expect next. Just like this passage we're going over today, I know that if I trust in the Lord with all my heart and if I lean not to my own understanding and if in all my ways I acknowledge him, he's going to direct my path. I can expect that. Why? Because I have rehearsed that over and over again. It gives me the ability then to have the word of God as a part of my daily arsenal. Why? Because I know that as I begin to speak that word has a life. That word is already settled in heaven. So I can speak that word over my life. I can speak that word over my circumstances. I can speak that word over my situations. And I can expect that God, who is faithful, is going to execute that word. Why? Because I have rehearsed it. And so rehearsing the word is really, really important. Listen, Joshua 1:9 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord thy God will be with you everywhere you go. So that's another passage of scripture that I have rehearsed. I have rehearsed that I was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. God, I have rehearsed that time and time again. I've rehearsed, you know, the word of God, and so that it is hidden in my heart, so that I may not have a physical Bible in front of me. But I've rehearsed that word enough that when the situation comes up, I know exactly what moves to make. I have a dear friend who I call my adopted mom, and she says, don't watch me, watch the moves I make. And that's what rehearsing will do for you. Rehearsing will cause you to function and to operate on such a level because you've got that word that you have been allowing to get down in your heart. When a cow is eating, they do something called chewing their cud. And that's when they eat and then they regurgitate it and then they chew it again and then they regurgitate it and then they chew it again. They're getting all of the possible nutrients out of the food that they're eating, because they are doing it over and over again. That's what rehearsing will do for you. It will cause that word of God to get down inside of you, and you'll keep getting more and more power from it and more revelation from it, because that's what the word is in place to do. So I will tell you, listen, if you want to get yourself in a posture for victory, not just for the end of 2019, but going forward into 2020, remember that he's got real love for you. Not like the love you may have experienced from man, but his love is agape. It's unconditional love. Then you got to remember the things that God has done. Remember the victories you have won. Remember the trials, the struggles, but also remember the way in which God has come through time and time again. And then thirdly, you got to rehearse. You got to rehearse the word of God so that it can get down in your spirit and you can begin to line yourself up with the word and watch the word work for you. Listen, I'm so glad that you tuned in today. I hope this message has been a blessing to you. I am so glad to have had the privilege to host this show, The Living Room. I want to say a special word of thanks to Caleb Patrick and the Finding My Way Network, as well as Josie Hopkins and Josie's Inspirational Network. This has been a phenomenal experience being a part of this team of network of radio shows. And I'm just excited about what 2020 will hold. Listen, if you want to get in touch with me, you can reach me on social media. I am on Facebook under Juliet Davis or Juliet Davis Ministries. You can reach me on Instagram and Twitter using True_journey. I would love to hear from you. You can also email me at destinyempower@gmail.com. Send me a note. Just let me know that you heard the broadcast and how it impacted your life. I am so excited just to be able to share the things that God has given me, the things that He continues to reveal to me with a global audience. Wow. What a blessing. I know that this is an amazing experience. And I want to encourage you again through the holiday season and beyond, make sure that you are praying and make sure that you are serving. It will change your life. Listen, the Word of God has transformation power. May His Word change your life forever.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Chat and Chuckle. I am your host, Keita Keat, and when I tell you, I am so excited for this opportunity, and I am so excited that you all have chosen to tune in tonight. I just want to send a huge thank you to everyone that is listening. And by the way, if you want to reach out to me, if you have any questions, if you have any prayer requests, or you just want to say, hey, what's up, Keita Keat, how you doing? By all means, definitely, you can reach me on social media, on Facebook, Keita Keat, that is K-E-T-T-A-K-E-E-T, also on Instagram, also under Keita Keat, or you can shoot me an email at lovetomakeyoulaugh@yahoo.com, and that is spelled L-U-V, the number 2, M-K, the letter U, laff@yahoo.com. So again, thank you so much for tuning in with me today. I am so excited for my first guest ever. She has been a friend, and I call her my sis, but she has been my friend for years. She comes all the way from Lawrenceville, Virginia. Y'all, please welcome my friend, comedian Wendy Lee, a.k.a. Quiet Storm. Welcome, Wendy Lee.
Huh? Oh, hey!
welcome, welcome. Yes, thank you so much for agreeing to be my very first interview. Bless you, sis. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I am so honorary to be the first one. that is an honor. You will never forget me.
Oh, my goodness. See, it is starting already. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. But, yes, thank you so much for agreeing to, you know, to call in and have this first interview. Now, listen, of course, you are a comedian, Christian comedian, clean comedian. So my first question for you is, how long have you been doing comedy, and when did you know that this is something that you wanted to do?
Well, you can't ask me one thing at a time, girl. Right? Okay, but I think I got it. How long have I been doing comedy? Okay, now that is a loaded question. because I came in sideways like I do with most of my stuff. Now, technically I've been doing comedy for 20 years.
Wow.
But, professionally, 13 years. And seriously,
awesome.
About 1 year.
Okay.
Let me explain. I got to explain. Okay, so
okay.
20 years, I started in actually 1999.
Okay.
Woo!
Well, come on.
Yeah, and that was my first time actually doing it before an audience at church. It was at a church talent show. And then from there, the pastor just prayed over me and said, "You have an awesome gift, and I want to be the first one to sow into your ministry." And so they took up an offer for me that night and invited me back the following year to host the talent show. And now this wasn't even my church. I was just at the church visiting, and I wasn't even supposed to be a part of the talent show. They just ran out of acts, and so they asked people in the congregation if anybody wanted to participate, you know, come on up. And it just popped in my mind just to tell some jokes. Now, I have never aspired to be a comedian. It wasn't something I wanted to do when I was younger, you know, never.
Okay.
And never, ever. And, you know, it just popped in my mind that day, hey, tell some jokes. And what happened was the following year, it was a domino effect. After I hosted the talent show, that I just pretty much just dressed up like members of that particular congregation and just mimicked how they act in worship service. And they absolutely loved it. And someone after the talent show, someone asked me for my business card. I said, "Well, I'm not a comedian. I'm not in business. I was just having fun." So they said, "Well, will you come to my church and do what you did tonight?" I said, "Sure." And then with the domino effect, I went to that church, same thing happened. "Hey, can I have your business card? I'm not in business. I'm not a comedian. I'm just having fun." And that happened for the span of 7 years. 7 years. And I was just going, just having fun at churches. And then it was in 2006 where I actually went to a comedian conference. And I thought it was for aspiring comedians. But when I got there, there are comedians that who had their promo packages. They had been on TV. They had been in commercials. You know, they were traveling big names. And I'm just there, you know, just aspiring comedian. And I'm like, whoa. So I felt real small, but it was just encouraging to be in a room full of people who act like me. You know,
that's awesome.
And I came back on fire. And that's when I just made a flyer and sent it out to some local churches. And it was then in 2006 where I got my first paid gig at a church. And so that's when I just said technically professional. And then I say serious. I got serious about a year ago because it was just something fun. Just something fun for me to do. I love it. It was two things I love, being able to be at church and make people laugh. And so I was just having fun. And so I really got serious about it over the past, you know, year. Really want to make it a career and go full time in it. So
that is awesome.
So by my 20 years.
Well, that is awesome. That's an awesome story. Now look, because Now, I know we have actually talked about this before, but I want you to tell our listeners, where did the name Quiet Storm come from?
Well, what happened was I was telling you in a thunderstorm and I almost got hit by lightning. No, I'm just playing.
Oh my goodness.
That name comes from, it's actually a part of my testimony and actually explains my personality a bit as well. I am actually a quiet person, and people refuse to believe that about me because I'm actually am an introvert acting like an extrovert because of what I do on stage and because, of my sense of humor. But, and actually that first conference that I went to in 2006 with other comedians, they actually gave me my name because it was a 3-day conference. And I was there, and when I got there, even though I was so excited to go, and I got there and found out that I was on ground zero with my comedy, because everybody else had the promo packages and they had been on TV, they had been on BET Comic View and all this, and I felt small. And so I just began to withdraw. Even though I was paying attention, I was friendly and stuff, but I was just really quiet. And that's kind of how I am in certain settings. I'm rather reserved and quiet and very attentive and to what's going on, but I may not talk very much. And so for those first 2 days, I was just kind of quiet and just talking to one person. It was a girl that I was sitting beside. She kind of befriended me that first day, and so I kind of hung around with her the whole weekend. And then the very last day, they had a part called Test Your Talent, where the rookie comedians would go before and perform, and the veteran comedians would critique their set, give positive, critiquing them. And so I was reluctant to go up because I was just so afraid. And that's another thing. I was very shy as a child, as an adolescent, as a teenager, and even in my early 20s, and sometimes I can revert to that. And so I just didn't want to go up, but then they kind of convinced me to go on up. And so, and then they actually said, we don't even believe she's a comedian. She's been quiet. She ain't said nothing the whole weekend.
Wow.
But then, I got up there and did my little 2 minutes, and they were impressed. They were shocked. And they said, wow, we didn't know you had all that in you. And so they had a panel discussion right before the end of the whole conference. And so they, and one of the questions was, do we use our given name or do we get a stage name? And, of course, they said it was up to us, whether or not we wanted to. And there were a few people who actually wanted a stage name. And so they said, you usually get your stage name from your physical characteristics or something about your personality. And so when I got up, for help, with a stage name, they said a whole lot of things. And the first person came into my appearance, they wanted to call me string bean or french fry. but they end up, coming up with the name Quiet Storm because I'm quiet, but, I'm a storm on stage. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
See, like I said, I know we've talked about this before, but I definitely want you to share it with our listeners because that's what you are. You are a quiet storm, but you are hilarious. Well, look, my next question for you is, do you see comedy as ministry?
Well, do I see comedy? Now, there's two ways I'm going to answer that question. Well, no, I'm going to ask a question with a question. So are you saying comedy in general, or are you saying do I see the comedy that I do?
See the comedy? Yes. Do you see the comedy that you do? Do you see it as ministry?
I do see it as ministry. Because of the definition of what ministry is. Ministry means to serve. Ministry means to guide others to your faith.
Amen.
And so, yes, I would say that the comedy I do is ministry, but I also label myself as an entertainer because I provide entertainment. And, and it's funny because I used to struggle with that part. People say, your comedy ministry, when I first started doing comedy. And now I do see the ministry in it because of the feedback that I get from people.
Okay.
And I know that comedy is also healing. Just laughter in itself is healing in laughter. And so,
yes,
I do see this ministry because I use a lot of scripture. I use a lot of scripture in my set. And I've actually remember a particular time that a teenager came to me, and they actually said to me, they said, I usually don't understand what my pastor is talking about on Sunday morning, but you telling your jokes today actually helped me to understand the scripture better. And I was
wow.
like, wow. Yeah, that blew me away, because I really don't think that I have a reach to the children. I really don't. So I think that using my target audience is, you know, maybe the 30, 40, 50-year-olds, and
right.
I actually love doing the seniors as well. You know, I've done a lot of senior banquets. Because I know when I first started out, you know, during that 7-year time where I didn't consider myself a comedian, you know, people asked me a lot to come to youth conferences, and they didn't
wow.
go very well. You know, they look at me like I had 3 heads. And so for that teenager to come up to me that time and say, I understand the scriptures much better from your comedy, that I'm like, wow.
That's
wow.
awesome.
So I know I go roundabout to answer the question. but yeah, I just, the comedy that I do as ministry. Yeah.
That is awesome. And it just goes to show that you never know what type of impact you're having on mm-hmm. people, you know, no matter what you're doing.
Yeah.
And so definitely comedy. Everyone, for the most part that I know, loves to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and you hit the nail on the head when you said that laughter is healing. The Bible
mm-hmm.
talks about laughter being like mm-hmm. medicine.
Yeah.
And I've even done research on what laughing does to the brain
mm-hmm.
and to the body. So it does have not just physical aspects to it, but it has spiritual, you know, it has the spiritual aspect to it. So I truly do think it's important. So that is an awesome testimony. Then let me ask you this. This is kind of a fun question.
Oh, well,
those
ones ain't been fun? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, they've been fun, but this the other ones have been, you know, a little more, you know, let's kind of dig deep, Wendy Lee. But
mm-hmm.
this one here, this one here, this question here, I think is kind of, you know, it's a little more creative. Okay, so what is, or I should say, what was the funniest thing that you've experienced at one of your comedy shows or engagements that actually made you laugh? You know, because as comedians, of course, we are there to make other people laugh. But, you know, when you make the comedian laugh.
Lord. Lord. Well, I'm going to answer that. I'm going to go to California to get to New York with that question, too.
Okay.
Yeah, that means the scenic route. I like taking the scenic route a whole bunch a lot. now, really, I guess the simple answer for me is when the crowd just laughs hysterically at one of my jokes and they laugh, them laughing makes me laugh.
Right.
It does. When they just laugh, you know, I just have a good time just hearing them laugh. And, so I really can't think of a particular instance where, you know, something just really cracked me up. So really, because the audience response cracked me up. But
absolutely.
I can tell a story, Lord have mercy. It was like, at the time, it was the biggest congregation I had performed for.
Wow.
And at this big congregation, one of the bigger churches in the Peters of the Bird, you know the area. Child, I got there up there and got the punchline of my own joke.
Wow.
I look back on it and laugh, but at the time, I was struggling. And how about?
And it happens. That happens.
It happened. It happened, and I went back to start a joke over about 9 times, thinking I could get in the flow that I remember the punchline, and it just won't happen. And now the audience was cracking up. The congregation, they were cracking up because they didn't know what was going on. But because I lived with me, I knew what was going on. Like, I was just not getting the punchline. And so I just ended up confessing my sins. About the 7th time that I went back and started over, I said, y'all, I done forgot the joke. And then I even reached out for prayer. I'm like, y'all, pray for me. I'm trying to remember. And in the midst of my dilemma, because I did, because I did. I said, can you pray for me? Because I'm struggling up here. And they looking at me laughing. And I'm like, what kind of church is this?
Because you're literally trying to tell the joke, and they are laughing at the fact. Now, this is a serious moment because you
know. I'm like, if there was a trap door on that pulpit where I could just fell through, well, I please open the door so I can just disappear. But it was fine. It was fine because they thought it was part of the joke, because every time I went and restarted it, they just laughed more. And I'm like, I done forgot to put the line. And they still was laughing. And I'm like, shoot, well, I'm just going to skip it.
Wow. That's what I'm talking about. Look. And I always say that the funniest things are the things that happen in real life, real time. So you couldn't make that up.
Yeah, but that wasn't funny to me. I mean, you're answering, but that just came to when you just asked, like, that. I want to share that experience, but it's like, that wasn't funny at the time.
But you can look back on it now.
I done got this. It's a big church to me. It's a big church. I done got up here and forgot the punchline. But okay.
Well, see, anything goes in comedy.
Yes, absolutely.
So,
absolutely. And it just goes
you know.
Through you just like any performer, because, you know, I used to do stage plays and stuff. And they said, you know, if you miss a line or if you skip a line, to just keep on going because the audience doesn't know how it's supposed to go. And so it's the same
absolutely.
Way with comedy. Because they thought it was a part of the act.
Right.
Like, oh, when you act like you ain't remember, I'm like, girl, I did not remember. It wasn't that.
Yes. And that makes for the best time. I mean,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is hilarious, y'all. I told y'all she's hilarious. Well, listen, where will you be next?
Where will I be next?
Well, other than at the house, do you have any upcoming engagements, any projects coming up so people can know? How they can find you and where they can and go see you.
Engagement. I would like to be engaged because, you know, I'm single trying to get plugged. Send about it. You know, want to have a prophetic wedding. Hallelujah. Trust God that he'll give you a good thing. Won't he do?
Come on.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. I tell you.
It's over upcoming engagements. But I guess you mean comedy show. I am trying to get engaged too. But
okay. Other than we're gonna be believing God with you. other than that type of engagement, what comedy shows do you have coming up?
All right. So this coming Friday, December the 6th, I'll actually be at Kazi's Comedy Club in Chesapeake, Virginia. And so I'll actually be doing a guest spot there in Kazi's. And then the following day on December the 7th, I will be in Ahoskie, North Carolina. The name of the church is City of Praise. They're having their Christmas banquet. But it's not going to be at the church. It's going to be at a restaurant in Ahoskie. I forgot the name of the restaurant. But I'll know by the time Saturday comes. I don't know.
Okay.
haven't committed it to memory yet. And so, so those are the next two engagements that I have coming up. That's okay. Written in stone. It's written in stone. So yeah.
Well, that is awesome. Well, and let the people know how they can get in contact with you, you know, the social media platforms and things like that. So let.
Thank you so much. So you can find me on the face of the book under Wendy Lee. and the second name is Comedian Quiet Storm. I'm also on the Insta of the Gram under Comedian hyphen Quiet Storm. I'm not hyphen. No, it's an underscore. I know it's some kind of line. It's a line. So the Comedian underscore Quiet Storm. And so, yeah, I heard you laughing. I got my own vocabulary. I just talk the way I talk because I thrive on being different. And I just talk different. Yeah, so the Insta of the Gram. Yeah, no, underscore Quiet Storm. Yeah. And that's all. That's all the social media I'm on right now because, you know, I still got that shyness about me. So I can't be on too much social media because it give me that. Social anxiety. I'm sorry.
Well, that.
Go ahead. I'm
that
sorry.
Is all right. That no, you're fine. No, you're good. I'm sitting here trying not to bust out laughing. But no, but thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. Definitely letting the listeners know where they can contact you if they want to book you or come to your event. Y'all, I have had a ball tonight. When I tell you, every time I talk with her, I laugh. If I have a headache, the headache is gone by the time we finish.
You pay the doctor. How much are you paying?
Well, listen, guys, thank y'all so much for tuning in. And Wendy Lee, thank you so much, sis, for your time and just taking this opportunity to talk with me. Thank y'all so much. And listen, you all have a blessed rest of the week. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thank you.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.